Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This episode contains material that may be disturbing to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
It's an awful case because the murders have been directed to innocent elderly people who have not been able to defend themselves, and that they have been done in very cold-headed, cold-hearted manner.
In 2009, suspicions grew in a nursing home about a nurse whose elderly patients kept dying around her. Staff noticed something odd. The yogurt she gave to her patients tasted strangely bitter. They began to wonder if she was adding something harmful to the yogurt.
Police went to her home and tested the yogurt and found out that there were drugs in the yogurt plate.
The concerning pattern of deaths under this nurse's care triggered a major police investigation. As they began uncovering case after case, the extent of the nurse's potential involvement became increasingly alarming. It was becoming clear that this wasn't just a few isolated incidents. The scale of the body count was much larger.
There were loads of them.
As the case progressed, this once ordinary nurse became a well-known name across the country of Finland. Instead of hiding from attention, she seemed to enjoy her sudden and infamous fame.
She was treated like a rock star or a pop idol. I think that was one of the most disgusting interviews I have ever witnessed.
You're listening to Nordic Crimes, Serial Killer Nurse. It's March 2009. The radio plays Lady Gaga's Poker Face, and the media can't get enough of newly elected United States President Barack Obama. Spring is in the air, and in Finland, people are waiting for the first migratory birds to return. Meanwhile, health organizations express concerns over a range of issues. A salmonella outbreak, the challenges of an aging population, long work hours, a nursing staff shortage, and a high accident rate that reaches around 800,000 cases annually. In Helsinki, an 80-year-old retired English lecturer is rushed to the hospital in a critical state. Her breathing is labored, and she's barely conscious, leading the attending doctor to fear the worst. Complicating her condition is a pre-existing blood disorder, which is weakening her immune system and heightening her infection risk. Initially suspecting a brain injury, yet puzzled by some atypical symptoms, the doctor tries to give her medicine, typically used as an antidote for benzodiazepines, commonly known as benzos, and often given in suspected suicide attempts. The antidote brings temporary improvement, prompting the doctor to continue its administration. Remarkably, the elderly woman begins to recuperate from her life-threatening condition.
My name is Miika Viljakainen and I am a Finnish crime journalist. I have written several books about Finnish true crime and especially about serial killers in Finland.
Miika has gotten to know this case very well.
In the meantime, the patient's nurse, who had been taking care of her for the past 6 months, called her daughter. And the nurse told the daughter that when she visited her mother's house earlier, she had collapsed at her home. And the nurse said that the elderly woman had been depressed for a time now, and she suspected that her patient had tried to commit a suicide with an overdose of drugs.
The daughter is in disbelief. Just the day before, she had spoken with her mother, who expressed excitement about their upcoming visit. That same morning, a brief call confirmed her mother had eaten breakfast and sounded completely normal. But the practical nurse's question, "What time did you call her?" felt oddly direct to the daughter. Meanwhile, the elderly woman in the hospital shows signs of recovery. An overdose of benzos can lead to serious complications, like heart arrhythmia and breathing difficulties, potentially causing strokes. While younger individuals might withstand such effects, they can be deadly for older people. As the patient improves, the nursing staff cautions her about the dangers of mishandling her medication.
The lady was, of course, stunned and irritated because she hadn't been taking any benzos or drugs, and she was certain that the nurse had tried to poison her with medicine. And a doctor who was doing his rounds was in a hurry and didn't believe the woman when she told that the nurse was trying to poison her. Doctor was in a hurry and the patient was an elderly woman who can sometimes imagine things, especially when they suffer from different kinds of memory disorders. The first doctor, he just didn't think it would be possible that some nurse would have tried to commit a homicide or murder a patient. So these things are quite common, that elder people imagine things, that they are being poisoned. But in this case, the first doctor didn't believe that it would be true.
The 80-year-old patient is adamant in her story, repeating it to a different doctor she sees the next day. She's certain she didn't take any medication herself and suspects her practical nurse might have mixed the benzos in that morning's breakfast. This time, the doctor believes her story. On March 18th, 2009, the Helsinki Crime Department's Violence Unit receives a crucial call. A concerned doctor reports a possible attempted murder of an elderly patient by her practical nurse.
And the nurse in question was a practical nurse called Aino Nykop. At the time, she was 58 years old and married with a child. And she had been working as a caretaker for over two decades. Employers saw her as an ideal employee. Thus, she was experienced, hardworking, motivated, and was able to work with different kinds of patients who were at the time very challenging as well. She had worked for several different employers in hospitals, nursing homes, and for individual patients at their homes. And she was a very respected employee with some employers.
Aino Nykop was well regarded by her patients, leading one of their daughters to recommend her to a friend in need of a practical nurse for her mother. But now, the same elderly woman suspected that Ainu had attempted to poison her.
When the woman told that she had eaten a yogurt that was kind of bitter, police went to her home and tested the yogurt and found out that, yes, the woman was right. There were drugs in the yogurt plate. And these kind of drugs, the woman herself did not have. So the police started to suspect that it was truly her nurse that should put the drugs in her patient's morning yogurt.
The police apprehended Ainu that very night. Arriving at her home, they found she wasn't there yet. She had been visiting the patient she allegedly poisoned, bringing flowers to the hospital. When Ainu returned, the police were met by a woman of unremarkable appearance, her face devoid of emotion. They arrested her and conducted a search of her apartment, uncovering several bags filled with sedative drugs, sleeping pills, and hundreds of various benzo pills. More drugs were found on Ainu during her arrest, concealed in her pockets and underwear, which she claimed to have forgotten about. Ainu told the police she had visited her patient on her day off after running some errands nearby around noon. She expressed concern about her patient's fever the previous night.
When she arrived in the apartment, the lady was lying on the floor, and Ainu had tried to give her water, but the patient wasn't able to drink it. And after this, the patient had gone pale and couldn't form words anymore. Ainu explained that how she called an ambulance immediately after she saw this.
However, the elderly patient recalled the incident quite differently. She remembered being at home that morning when Ainu unexpectedly arrived and gave her yogurt that tasted unusually bitter. Shortly after eating it, she lost consciousness, waking up later in the hospital. There was more. The patient recalled that Ainu had initially charged 20 euros per visit, but soon raised her fee, first to 30 euros, then to 55, and eventually 60 euros. Unhappy with these increases, the elderly woman wrote a letter to her friend expressing her concerns.
And in that letter, the woman told that she was not satisfied with Ainu's work, and she criticized Ainu's work, and she sealed the letter and asked Ainu to deliver it to a mailbox. What happened that the letter never reached the friend, so it's probable that Ainu opened the letter and read that her patient was criticizing her. And after reading it, it only took a while when the patient was poisoned. So it seems that maybe poisoning the patient was kind of a revenge of this criticism.
The police were dealing with a clear case of attempted murder, with a healthcare worker as the prime suspect. It was implausible that such a large quantity of medication could be given by mistake. Not only were the drugs not part of the patient's prescribed medication, but administrating any medicine was also outside Ainu's responsibilities as a practical nurse. Her role involved house cleaning, grocery shopping, and assisting the woman with outdoor walks. This incident raised an even more significant concern.
When the police had this kind of an opening, of course, then they started to check if any other Nykops patients had any similar kind of poisonings or these kind of deaths that could be mysterious.
Ainu, with over 25 years in caregiving and a history of multiple employers and patients, could have potentially treated over 1,300 patients, assuming she met a new patient weekly. The police scrutinized Ainu's actions in this case, particularly how she called an ambulance after the poisoning, which seemed unusual. They began investigating other emergency calls she had made during her career and looked into her past employment history, In 2006, Aina was caught stealing drugs at Mehiläinen Hospital. She was fired and fined by the Helsinki court. But due to an administrative oversight, this offense wasn't reported to the healthcare oversight authorities.
In 2008, Aina was caught setting up a fire in her previous workplace in a hospital, Meilahti. She had carried diapers in an elevator, lit them up, and sent the elevator up to the 15th floor and left the building immediately. She was caught through a surveillance camera.
The fire in the elevator was contained, causing minor damage. Aina was fined with 300 euros. During the investigation, she claimed she acted out of bitterness over workplace bullying. The reason she could continue working in healthcare, despite her history, was partly due to the frequent job changes common among healthcare workers. Employers often skip reference checks due to the high turnover and the constant staff shortage in hospitals. As they delved into Aino's emergency calls, the police noticed a disturbing pattern.
There were loads of them. They found out that Aino Nykop had previously called to emergency number and many of times where her patient had these similar kinds of symptoms that are caused by poisoning.
The investigation took a dark turn, leading the police to the unsettling task of digging up graves. In June 2004, Finland was gearing up for the Midsummer Festival. After a rainy month, the weather was finally improving. An 80-year-old woman from Kotka, about 130 kilometers east of Helsinki, nervously hailed a taxi. She was headed to Mehiläinen Hospital for major heart surgery, feeling optimistic about her doctor's positive outlook despite her advanced age. With the cost of the taxi covered by the social insurance institution, she carried 300 euros in cash, uncertain of how long she might need to recover post-surgery.
And the surgery goes well, just like the doctor had predicted. On Tuesday, 22nd June, the woman is transferred from the intensive care unit to the bed ward. Before this, woman talked with her daughter on the phone briefly, and they say they are going to see each other on the next day. Now she needs to rest for a bit.
Tragically, the day for recovery never arrives. That Tuesday evening, a heartbroken daughter receives the call no one ever wants. Her mother has died. A 50-year-old nurse, deeply saddened, remembers her last day with the patient. She had been responsible for moving the lady to room 416 and had taken care of her throughout the day. Nurses in the ward typically work in pairs. And on this occasion, Aino Nykop, a substitute, had been her partner, filling in for her regular colleague who was on sick leave.
The nurse had taken the patient to her room at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She placed her belongings in a secured closet and put the key in the department's office. She asked the substitute nurse, Aino, to go and check the patient's vitals. Later in the afternoon, she went to feed the lady, but the patient was feeling nauseous and vomited the food.
At around 10 minutes to 7 that evening, the nurse went to check on her patient and immediately sensed something was terribly wrong. The elderly woman lay motionless. Frantically, the nurse hit the alarm and started CPR with Aino's help. The department doctor rushed in to assist with the resuscitation efforts, but, tragically, nothing worked. The patient passed away at 8:15 p.m. Some peculiar details emerged following her death. Firstly, the 300 euros the patient had brought with her were missing. Secondly, the autopsy revealed high levels of medication for heart impairment and insomnia, neither of which had been prescribed to her or to anyone else in that ward. The hospital initially thought these drugs might have been administrated during resuscitation attempts, but this theory was incorrect. The patient was, in fact, the first confirmed victim of serial killer Aino Nykop.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
My name is Taija Stout. I'm a psychologist, and I worked for a long time with criminals. It's an awful case, because the murders have been directed to innocent elderly people who have not been able to defend themselves, and that they have been done in very cold-headed, cold-hearted manner.
Aino Nykop is recognized as the only known female serial killer in Finland's history. But what truly defines a serial killer?
By definition, it means that a person needs to kill at least 3 people, and they need to be independent cases from one another. There's also time difference between these cases, so 3 people were not killed in one situation, but they are separate from one another. And from the psychological perspective, it seems like that so-called the hunger for killing is somehow increasing also in the course of these homicides.
Evidence uncovered by the police pointed to several possible murders, but many of Aino's former patients had already been cremated, complicating the investigation. Nevertheless, as more bodies were exhumed, the suspected victim count continued to rise.
After the police started to investigate what Aino Nykop had done, they found a lot of evidence that many of her patients had symptoms that were similar of poisoning, and many of her patients had died in mysterious circumstances. And when these kind of traces of drugs were found in the remains, it was clear that many of her patients had actually died because of these drug overdoses. But because the patients were elderly and fragile, it was assumed before that they died just of natural causes. Her patients, or in this case her victims, were usually very sick from the start. They were very fragile. Many of them were old, And because of that, many of them were in that kind of condition that death was not a surprise. So at the time, the investigation wasn't done so thoroughly because there was no reason to suspect that they would be victims of homicide. But now when the police got one opening, they did the investigations further and eventually they found a lot of evidence that Aino Nykop had many victims.
One incident occurred just 2 days after a failed murder attempt. On the evening of August 29, 2006, an 83-year-old woman was brought to a Helsinki health center, feeling unwell and nauseous. While being examined by a doctor, she drifted off to sleep, snoring lightly. The nursing staff tried to rouse her by gently shaking her shoulders. She briefly opened her eyes, but seemed confused and disoriented. Deciding she needed more care, the staff arranged for her to transfer to a hospital. At the hospital, she would only respond minimally when prodded awake. She mostly remained in a drowsy state. The attending doctor, suspecting a brain injury, ordered a CT scan, but no internal bleeding was found. A neurologist noted her constricted pupils, a sign that might indicate benzo influence, and decided to administer a benzo antidote. The treatment was effective, confirming a benzo overdose. After a week of care, she was well enough to return home.
It only takes months when the same patient is sent back to the hospital suffering from the same symptoms. This time the nursing staff knows immediately what to do with the patient, and the antidote for benzos works once again.
The hospital staff realized they needed to take action following this second incident of an elderly patient with memory issues suffering from a benzo overdose. They organized a care plan meeting, bringing together the nursing team, family members, caregivers, and representatives from home care and social services to discuss the patient's future treatment and preventive measures for overdoses. The meeting included the patient's husband, a war veteran, her stepdaughter, a home care representative, the doctor, a social worker, and Aino Nykop, the practical nurse who had called the ambulance during the last overdose incident. Aino had previously suggested to healthcare staff that perhaps the husband, exhausted from his wife's wanderings, had mistakenly given her his own medication. However, the husband was at loss during this meeting and couldn't explain the overdoses. It was decided that the patient would no longer live at home with her husband, but would be moved to a care home with around-the-clock supervision. This decision likely saved her life. Not because she was away from her husband, but because she was out of Aino Nykop's reach.
That was a terrible tragedy for the elder man, because what was the outcome of that? There was their nurse who had tried to poison wife, and that was all blamed on him. And due to that, he was separated from her to the end. And no one ever suspected at the time that the real person behind the poisoning would be their nurse.
In total, the police connected Aino to 5 murders, 5 attempted murders, and a serious assault where she poisoned a colleague.
That is unknown to this day, that how many victims did she actually had during the years when she worked as a practical nurse.
Today, an 80-year-old woman, Irmeli, ponders whether she might have been one of Aino's potential victims. Having lived in Spain for years, she returned to Finland each summer. In 2004, after discovering she had cancer, her holiday plans were abruptly altered. She still wanted to celebrate her 60th birthday, aware that she would need cancer surgery later that summer. In July 2004, Irmeli underwent successful surgery at Mehiläinen Hospital and was placed in the bed ward near room 416, just a month after Aino Nykop's first known murder. Irmeli found herself under the care of the same nurse, Aino.
Hän kävi kaikki yöt, oli ja häiritsi. Hän puhu koko ajan.
She would come in every night and bothered me. She just talked and talked and talked constantly. She told me her whole life story. She would talk so long every night that I wasn't even able to sleep. She was very sweet. She told me she had a son and that she was a single parent and that's why she had to do night shifts. I heard this every night.
Hän oli yksin huoltaja tämän kaiken hän minä kuulin monena yönä.
Aina would visit Irmeli's room nightly, spending hours talking about her life as a single mother, although she was actually married at the time. Aino's tales of fictitious husbands and lovers were not only told to Irmeli, but also to her colleagues. Aino even approached Irmeli's husband with an offer to work as Irmeli's practical nurse at their summer home in Finland.
Ja sen mä tajusin oikeasti loppujen lopuksi vasta sitten, kun mä oon lukenut hänestä.
I understood this all after I read about her, because it seems that she thought I was wealthy. I was being treated in a private hospital, and we had a summer place in southern Finland. And when I was reading about her later, I found out that she especially was looking after wealthy victims. We are not, but she didn't know that. This is probably the reason she kept me alive, so that she could come to our home. But my husband immediately told her that we don't need any nurses, which was true.
Hän piti mua hengissä siellä, että hän pääsi sitten meille kotiin. No, mun mies sanoi totta kai heti, että ei tarvita mitään hoitajaa.
Irmeli suspects she survived because her daughter was constantly by her side in the hospital, a tradition in Spanish culture. Her daughter even set up a bed next to Irmeli's. It was her daughter who discovered a news article about the court proceedings involving Irmeli's nighttime nurse, leaving both women shocked and horrified.
Siitä mulla on jäänyt kyllä semmoinen tunne, että mä vähän...
That has left me a feeling that I look at people differently, like I look at you now. It has left me a strange feeling that I am a little bit afraid of people I don't know. Or maybe not afraid, but I look at people very carefully, even though I know it doesn't show from the outside.
Koska sen jälkeen mähän jouduin paljon...
I was quite afraid for some time. Because of the same cancer, I had to be treated in hospitals after this. And there I would always look at what kind of possibilities the healthcare staff had to hurt their patients if they had a criminal mind. I believe many people disappear from this world because of this. I don't know. It seems that way, because it appears to be that easy. It's really creepy. Nowadays, when there is a shortage of staff, they might take anyone to treat the hospital's patients. You could as well be a serial killer. There is no difference, none whatsoever.
Nyt sua katson näin. Että tota, ei ole mitään eroa. Ei mitään.
The investigation into Aino's crime spanned almost a year. During this period, her husband filed for a divorce. The trial commenced in January 2010, with Aino appearing alongside her high-profile lawyer, Heikki Lampela, known as a lifer, for representing clients facing life sentences. Aino faced a challenging defense as she denied all charges. Before the trial, Heikki had requested a mental health evaluation for Aino.
Based on the psychiatric evaluation, which is part of the Finnish legal system, they evaluate that whether this person have what their mental state has been at the time of the crime. So that can we say that they are responsible for it or not? And the situation where they would not be responsible for their act is that, for example, that if they were in a psychosis and they were hallucinating and they really cannot understand cause and effect, like relationships, and they don't really understand what they're doing. In this case, case could say that this person is not criminally responsible, so to say. Then there's an option that it's somehow partially, you know, or there's a lowered state of understanding of the responsibility, or that you are responsible. And if you have psychopathy, then usually it means that you are responsible for your actions. So none of those features lower your state of consciousness or mind or understanding in a way.
The prosecution spent nearly 30 minutes reading the charges. Before the trial, they had acknowledged the possibility that the full extent of Aino's crimes might never be uncovered, given the investigation only covered 5 years of her 25-year career. For instance, at one care home where Aino worked, 11 patients died during her shifts, but only one could be examined as the others had been cremated. The trial implicated not only Aino, but also her former employers. Relatives of the victims from Mehiläinen Hospital sought 35,000 euros in compensation for emotional distress. Proving such claims in court can be challenging, as families must demonstrate their deep connection to the deceased. One particularly heartbreaking story involved an 80-year-old woman who underwent heart surgery at Mehiläinen. Her family included a 6-year-old intellectually disabled son who had always been cared for by his mother. His mother's death and subsequent move to a care facility had been a traumatic transition for him. The woman who initiated the investigation did not live to see the trial. Her daughter sought compensation for psychiatric treatment. Aino claimed she didn't try to poison the patient. She said she was in fact a victim herself because of these claims. During the trial, Heikki Lampela queried Aino about the possibility of mercy killings, to which she vehemently denied ever considering such actions, citing her professional ethics. After nearly a month of hearings, the defense and prosecution presented starkly different perspectives. While the prosecution argued Aino had methodically murdered her patients, the defense maintained her innocence, anticipating her acquittal and future plans for humanitarian work in India or Africa. Before the final judgment, the court ordered a confidential mental health evaluation for Aino. The examination process is confidential, but the result in Aino's case is public. It says,
"The examinee has normal intelligence. The examinee doesn't have any kind of physical illness that would affect her responsibility. The examinee has an antisocial personality disorder with features of psychopathy. The examinee has characteristics of compulsive lying, and she's very talented at manipulating other people with apparently friendly and pleasant behavior in order to give a truthful, empathetic, trustworthy, and capable picture of herself. When in conflict, the examinee has a habit of accusing others and whitewashing her own behavior. The examinee has repeatedly broken laws and norms without showing any signs of remorse. Even without any clear motives for the accused acts, the examinee's personality disorder shows that she is capable of the acts she is being accused of. Of the above presented, it is stated that the examinee is guilty of the charges she is being accused of."
Where does this psychopathy come from, so to say? Is it something that one is born with? We don't know that for sure. It's as difficult question as if we would ask that how does a person become alcoholic? We don't know. There are many factors. There are maybe some exposing factors, some elements in the genes and the brain, and then also, you know, the family circumstances, and it's a combination of nature and nurture, so to say. But we do know that psychopathic tendencies often start to be visible already in the youth age. Psychopathic features are very badly crossing with the societal norms and rules. And not all psychopaths end up in prison. But if one wants to meet a psychopath, then prison is the place. Because if we say that in global population, 1-2% can be defined to be a psychopath, in prisons, it's like, you know, 30%, maybe 20-30%, they are there. So definitely those qualities that they have often tend to incline towards crossing our norms and laws, that type of behavior. And when psychopaths are in prison, and in the modern prisons, the one aim of being in prison is to try to support them not to commit crimes anymore. And prisons also have these rehabilitation programs and all sort of support that can be offered. But if a psychopath is participating, let's say, a group rehabilitation program, let's say like a anger management or non-violent rehabilitation group. The only thing that happens is that the psychopath is observing the other people participating in that group simply to sponge in information from them so that they can even better manipulate other people later on. That's the only thing that happens. And why that is that, which also applies to all of us, is that if a person doesn't feel inside that they need to change, that there's nothing wrong with them, then nothing happens. You cannot expose change from outside, you know, that you have to change. Because if you don't, in your consciousness, if you don't somehow feel that you need to change anything in yourself, then nothing changes.
In December 2010, the Helsinki District Court sentenced Aino to life imprisonment and ordered her to pay over 100,000 euros in compensation for pain and suffering. Her employers were acquitted, as the court found no way they could have foreseen her murderous actions. Despite her conviction, Aino maintained her innocence and appealed to the Court of Appeals. Prior to the appeal hearing, she appeared in a live entertainment show from her cell, where the host introduced her as a star and inquired about her romantic life in prison. Mika Viljakainen.
In my opinion, that was very bad taste because it was this kind of an entertainment show where she was treated like a rock star or a pop idol. And when she answered questions, audience reacted with laughter. That was not an interview of a criminal, that was an interview of a celebrity. And I think that was one of the most disgusting interviews I have ever witnessed. But on the other hand, even though you are a serial killer and even though that whatever you have done, you have a freedom of speech to tell your version of the story. I don't want to deny that right from the even the most vilest criminals, but it's everything that has to do with style. You can interview criminals without insulting the victims of these crimes, and you can give that freedom of speech to criminals without making them rock gods or celebrities.
Aino's sentence was upheld in both the Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court. She has repeatedly sought parole, most recently in December 2022. Under Finnish law, she is eventually eligible for parole.
When I was working as a prison psychologist, my friend once asked me that, have I ever experienced or encountered evil? And I thought it was a very interesting question. And I thought about it for a while and I answered her that I don't really feel that it has been evil what I have encountered for, but inability in a way. That with majority of criminals, it's, for example, challenges in regulating their emotions or expressing their emotions or innermost, and things have accumulated and escalated then towards a certain act, for example. So it's not like this sort of concept of pure evil. Don't really come across that, but it's rather about some inabilities that one has mostly. We could imagine in our minds a sort of a line continuum, and which has two extremities. So let's say that on the one extremity we have evil, and on the other extremity we have pure goodness. And if we were to put them into more behavioral terms or humanistic qualities instead of also ethical and moral ones, we could say that on the one extremity we would have a truly psychopathic person, and on the other end we would have a saint. And if we simplify things, we could say that all of us are somewhere in that line. So these pure extremities are extreme, but existing. So when I have been thinking about this evilness, I also personally agree that psychopathic person is mostly towards what we might consider evil. And why that is related to qualities that a psychopath has, which are to some extent unhuman in a way, because we are speaking of lack of consciousness and lack of empathy and lack of guilt. And those people are only driven by their personal egotistic goals, regardless of what that means for other people. And it also includes a pathological lying, and simply they don't have, there is no emotional response, even if they did something bad or they saw something awful happening. It simply doesn't, even in the scientific measurements, nothing is sort of happening in those parts of their brain, so to say. That is maybe towards mostly what we would, and I would also consider, evil tendencies, so to say.
Aino Nykop, who has now changed her name, continues to deny the heinous crimes she committed. The truly horrifying aspect of her crimes lies in the vulnerability of her victims, elderly individuals who were unable to defend themselves and who entrusted their care to her. This case is a powerful reminder of the trust we place in healthcare professionals, particularly when we or our loved ones are in a fragile state. This betrayal of trust is deeply distressing, not only for the victims and their families, but also for other healthcare workers. Many nurses work tirelessly under immense pressure, often with minimal staff, striving to provide the best care possible in challenging conditions. In such an environment, it's unfortunately conceivable that someone with malicious intent, like Aino, could again perpetrate similar crimes. Aino Nykop was not the first nurse to kill patients, nor the only serial killer in the nursing profession. Other such cases have occurred worldwide. One particularly chilling aspect of her behavior was her first known murder. She had never met the 80-year-old heart surgery patient before deciding to take her life. Aino's motives remain unclear. While she did steal from some victims, the financial gain does not seem substantial enough to be the sole driving force behind her actions. It's possible she relished the control and power over life and death. In discussions of evil, Aino's actions align chillingly close to such a concept. Irmeli's words resonate deeply in this context. When conversing with someone, there's no way to know if they might secretly be a serial killer.
This episode was written and reported by Marika Honkatukia. The script consultant was Eli Salo. Producer and sound designer was Suvi Tuli Kataya. Narrated by Tova Valnay. Executive producer is Nils Bergman. The main source for this episode's material is from Mika Viljakainen's book about the serial killer nurse. Nordic Crimes is a Tall Tale production. Please rate, review, and recommend the show to friends. Your support helps us reach listeners who might also appreciate the content. Thank you in advance.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.